You know, we have a responsibility. Amen? We have a responsibility to do a lot of things, you know. Responsibility, in definition, is the state or fact of having a duty to deal with something or having control over something, to be accountable morally, legally, mentally, to be reliable or trustworthy. That's what responsibility is all about. We have a responsibility concerning our lives. And Jesus gives us advice from the Gospels concerning our lives, concerning our behavior, concerning things that should be important to us as we live out our purpose on this earth. You know, in Mark chapter 4, verse 21 and 25, we read in red letters. Because anytime, you know, if you've got most of our Bibles, when you see red letters, That means Jesus spoke those words, and we should pay close attention to what he said. You know, if you look at the Gospels, you'll see all those red words, and you realize real quick that some of Jesus' messages were really shorter than 20 minutes. They really weren't very long. They're the 20-minute sermons that you guys like from me. If I get over that, I start seeing, you know, looking out, you know. If you look at the Gospels, you'll see those red words and you start to realize how important they are. He declares blessings. He declares ethical behavior. And he declares what it is like to be a follower of Christ. Now, those are some pretty strong words so far I've used, right? Ethical behavior. Accountability. Legally, morally, I mean, that's some pretty tough words. Reliable and trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Jesus says you are to be the light of the world. As believers, we have a responsibility to the gospel. It is not just good reading or a suggestion. It is a mandate, really, of how we are to operate as believers. You know, Wednesday night we talked about the commands that Jesus placed on us using the Great Commission, because in the Great Commission we know it very well. It's go into all the world and baptize and make disciples. But in the end, right there at the end, one of the last things he said, in teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you. And in some translations, all that I have commanded you to do. Now, I went over. Now, if you know what the commands of Jesus are, if you think it's just a couple, one, he said, well, the greatest commands were to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? We know those are to be the greatest commands. I went through 51 or 52 on Wednesday night, and we did get through them, okay? It took about 45 minutes, but we got through them. Well, maybe an hour and 10 minutes, okay? But we did get through them. And that was not all of them, okay? Going through the Gospels. You know, there's a difference between an ask or a suggestion, and I brought this out Wednesday night. There's a difference between asking or suggesting than commanding. And if you don't know the difference, just command your spouse to do something other than asking them and see the response, right? So you know that there's a difference between a command and a response. And I said, you know, it'd be like me commanding Leanne to do something. I'm just telling you right now, it's different than asking. The response I get is different. I learned that a long time ago. But, you know, the word command is a very strong word, and so it makes you take notice of what Jesus is saying. He's serious about what he's saying, right? He's not just saying, I'm not just asking you. I'm not just giving you a suggestion of how you should live. I'm not just asking you to live this way. I'm saying this is the way you should, this is the way you need to live, right? This is what you need to do. Here in the Gospel of Mark, which we're going to read here in just a few minutes, Jesus talks about sowing seeds and growing seed. He talks about calming storms in your life and in others. Talks about doing more than what your talent level is and doing it for God. Doing what He asked you to do. He tells us about being a light. And that's our text this morning. And that's why I'm wearing this goofy flashlight around my neck. Because I want to make a point. Being the light, being an example, but it's also, there's a whole lot more than just walking around like a billboard that says, come to Jesus. You know, I can wear a t-shirt that says, I love Jesus. I can wear a hat. I can wear lights. I can wear whatever. But it's much, much more than that. It's much, much more than coming to church and sitting on a pew. It's much, much more than that. Amen? Why? How come you say that? How come I say that? Because that's what Jesus said. It's not what I said. So Mark 4:21 through 25. If you have your Bibles, you want to open up your Bibles, I think it's really good to turn some pages. Although we have it up here, it makes it very convenient. That's okay. He said to them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? And said, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever will be given more, whoever does not have even what they have will be taken away from them. I read that. The gospel of Christ talks about the light. Jesus himself talks about the light. He tells us to be the light, a testimony to others of what God has done and doing in your life. Amen? Amen. I'm not ashamed of telling people what Jesus has done for me in my life. I'm not. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? He tells us to be the light, a testimony to others of what God has done and is doing. He tells us to shed this light, to have a hunger to spread God's word and His love. Believers should be living in His light and in this world, and non-believers that are living in Satan's darkness. That's the world we live in. It's either you're living in the light of Jesus Christ and you're shedding that light, or you're with the non-believers that are living in Satan's darkness. He declares His light to be good, and Satan's light to be darkness. His light to be what chases the darkness of Satan away. I've used this illustration before, but you, when you have the light of Christ, just like I've got it on, no matter, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and no matter where I go, this light disperses the darkness and shows my path, right? It could be pitch dark in here. I turn this light on and I can see. I turn the light off and I can't see. Simple as that. And no matter where I go when I have this light on, I can see. As long as I have the light. Amen? Amen. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's what it's like when you have the light of Christ. Wherever you walk, wherever you go, you may be in the darkest places in this world, but wherever you go, when you have the light of Christ, He shines a light on your path. He can guide you through it. And let me tell you, this is a dark world we live in. with His light, you and I are able to do more than we could ever do ourselves, because we can't see without the light. He tells us that His light is truth. We need to always be mindful and understand that people are always watching us. They're always watching you whether you like it or not. And we're always influencing someone in a positive way or in a negative way. We have that ability. And some of us are really good at it in both directions. It's not about perfection. It's not. It's about obedience. Because we're not perfect people. Sometimes we get caught up on perfection, but we're not called to be perfect. We're called to be obedient. Amen?
Amen.
God used some pretty imperfect people in the scriptures that I read to do some pretty amazing things because they were just obedient to do what He said. We are called by God to be authentic, to be real. You know, to be the real deal, I guess you could say. That's what authentic means. Really, to be who you say you are. You know? In the light of God, we are to impact others in a variety of ways. And we're not all the same people, so we're able to do that. We all have talents. We are the church sign. We are the church sign of Anna, Church of the Nazarene. People see you. You represent. When you attend this church, you represent what this church is all about. Does that not bring some accountability upon us as, I won't just say members of this church, but those who belong to the family, right? Of this church. You don't have to be a member to be a part of our family. I want you to know that. Membership is good, but it doesn't disclude you from being a part of this church or being a part of our family. I want you to know that. We are the banner of Christianity to those that are struggling to find the truth of God, or the banner of why they do not come to Christ or to come to church. There's a lot of people who don't come to church because somebody is not authentic in their Christian life. We call those hypocrites, right? But the thing is we don't come to church for the hypocrites. We come to church for God. Amen. And to be a part of our family, right? There's always going to be hypocrites. There's always. You go to Walmart with them. Go to Walmart. People gripe because they didn't go to Kroger. I mean, come on.
Amen.
But we got to eat, right? Yeah. So we go to Walmart so we can get groceries, or we go to Kroger so we can get groceries. Two different churches I'm representing here, highlighting, you know. The Church of Walmart, Church of Kroger. Why do we go there? Because we need to eat. That's why you come to church. Because you need fed spiritually. We need to eat. We don't come there. We don't go to Walmart to feed the guy next to us in line. We go there to feed ourselves. Same thing. I wish more people could understand that. We need to find the truth. We need to carry the banner with authentic love and represent the church of Christ. We are the sign. And I want to ask you this: what's your sign say? How do people read your sign when they see you? We do not, you know, we don't want to just be an irritant to people. Huh? I mean, we can get in some people's faces pretty quick, can't we? Even with our light shining. Well, how are you today? That's not what it's about. Really? We can shine our light in people's faces, and we can do that too, but we're not here to be an irritant to people. We want to display the light that changes people's lives, how they look and respond to God and in His love. That's what we want to represent. We cannot let the world affect our usefulness, and we need to know that we are being watched and graciously desire to be a blessing instead of a stumbling block to those journeying around us. And that's the, you know, that's the responsibility that we have. I don't want to cause any of my brothers and sisters to stumble. I don't want to misrepresent who Jesus is. So it's a responsibility that we have to, as we represent who Christ is to be the best that we can be. How do we do that? We obey His commands to the best of our ability. The light must be seen. Jesus brought that out. Jesus Himself tells us that the light of a lamp is not to be hidden under a bed, but put on a stand that the light shines and gets the most coverage. We like our lights to sit up so we can see, right? I remember the song as a kid, and Vernon and I was just talking about her granddaughter sang that song. It's just coincidental. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You guys know that song? Hide it under a bush? No. I'm going to let it shine. Why? Wonderful song. Let it shine, let it shine. A light is revealing. It shows us and it shows our surroundings and it exposes those things that are in the darkness. Like I said, wherever we go, when we got the light of Christ, it shines. It guides us. It guides our path. It reveals those things that causes us to stumble. Amen. We got to remember that in Jesus' day, they didn't just flick a switch on. They didn't have electricity then. They had oil lamps and candles. In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus, His light is also the truth, and truth must be expressed and seen. I talk about that often. It's not just about what we say, it's about what we do. You know? People see God's truth cannot be concealed. It is not meant to be hidden under the bed or of our lives. That's why I have such a problem with secret agent Christians. Yeah. Secret Christian man. Walked into the church house undetected. I slide into the back pew. I could write that song. That's a good song. I did once, honestly. Secret Christian man. We can't hide those things. When the light of Christ is in you, you can't hide it. Amen? You can't. I've lost my place now. You know, there'll be times when it's dangerous and awkward to share your faith, and persecution and troubles may happen because of your faith. And we don't like to hear those things, but it's true. There's times we don't want to stand up for Christ because we're afraid of what might happen. But Jesus tells us to show the truth. Sometimes we got to stand up and speak the truth. If we don't, we just let things go, and we just can't do that. You know, men and women of God, Christians, will stand by the truth of God even if there is persecution or heartache. You know, in the Reformation of 1517, was started by Martin Luther, and you may know some of this, and other Protestant reformers, they believed that it could not be business as usual, really. They believed and lived out that if you believe something strongly, that you're willing to die for it, for what you believe. Martin Luther took his beliefs to the public forum, and not in the shadows, but listed his demands on the door of a public square. And not as an anonymous person, but he signed it with his name. And by doing that, he went against the church. And if you went against the church then, it meant that you could be burned at the stake, cut into pieces. I mean, they did some pretty horrific things to people back then. But Martin Luther, when he read the scripture, he realized that there was more to it. He realized that it needed to be told. The truth needed to come out, because then all people just heard from what the priest told them. Luther felt he discovered the truth, and his goal was to display the truth and live out the truth of God. And that's why we have the Protestant church today. And not the King's church. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. We need to tell the truth of what the gospel says. We can't speak around the truth. We can't water the truth down. People don't like to hear that sometimes. There's something about the truth. Some may refuse to face it. They may try to suppress it and try to wipe it out, to refuse to accept it. And we see that going on, this battle going on today in our world, our society that we live in here. All around us, people are rejecting and fighting against the truth. They don't want to accept it. They refuse to accept it. But we need to continue to tell the truth. The truth will prevail in the end. Amen? That's what the scripture tells us. The great theologian, Judge Judy, she said one time, if you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. Some truth to that. God's light applied to our lives, and it controls our conduct. It controls how we share the truth with others when we continue to apply the truth of God's light to our lives. You know, Adam and Eve broke the commandment of God, and they tried to hide from God in Genesis 3:8, but you know, you can't hide from God. God knows what's going on in your life. You may be able to hide it from the people around you, but you cannot hide it from God. I'm so amazed at God's grace and His mercy and His love for us that He says, all you got to do is just come to me and repent. Amen. What a wonderful God we serve. Each one of us must take care of that we're not fighting against the truth of God. We're not fighting against sometimes ourself. Each one of us must make sure that we're not hiding from the light of God. Each one of us must be the light that God intends us to be, where God intended us to go. The truth is, this world of ours, it lives in darkness. And I didn't say that. Jesus said that again. We are to be His light in this world. And the same way that He was the light of the world when He walked this earth. You know, when you look at the moon, The moon is in a dark place, and even there's the dark side of the moon because it doesn't rotate. And the only light that ever gets on the side is from the sun. And the reason we see that is because the moon is made of reflective particles. Isn't it amazing how God made that happen? And those particles cause the sun to reflect off of the moon and show us the light. We walk around in such a dark place that people, the only way they'll see through the darkness and see the light of Christ shining off of us is because of Him living within us and the reflective value that Christ is. You know, we're not Christ. We will never be Christ. But we were made in the image of God to reflect the image of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So when the sun shines on you, you are that reflection of Christ, just as the moon is a reflection of the sun. Some weeks here, as a family, we do weddings and funerals and rejoice one moment and we're heartbroken the next. That's this world we live in. One moment everything seems to be going great and the next minute we're shoved under a bus. We feel that way, don't we? And these moments in life, they do not change the fact that the light of God is working in us and through us at those times. And people see that. And how we react and what we do. Jesus gives us the whole light example in the text that then He tells us that to have ears to hear. And then He tells us in verse 24 this. He said, consider what you hear. He continued with the measure that you use it. What you hear, how do you use it? You remember in what John said, to be doers of the word, he said not to just be doers of the hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. He said, use it. It will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So pay attention to what you hear. What you get will depend on what you give. Listen, to gain more, is that really what He's saying? It is, isn't it? Not in this world. What you give, you will get back and more. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you can't go. You know, we sing songs about building that mansion over, and you'll get crowns of glory. I read all these scriptures. What's He talking about? The things that we do here. He said, don't lay up treasures here on earth where moth and rust will destroy, but lay up treasures in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's what matters the most. I don't believe in karma, especially in the Bible, but I believe that you cannot outgive God, and I will say that, in any aspect of your life. In life, there's got to be a balance. You work hard and you get things, and you do not work and things are not as available, are they? You study hard, and the more you study and prepare for something, that study actually gives back to you in a reward. You know, the ancient Greeks, they believed that this is why they raised their young men and women. They'd get them up early in the morning. They'd make them work until they broke a sweat, and then they'd give them breakfast. And then they'd make them work some more, and if they didn't work hard enough, then they didn't get to eat. Maybe we need to start doing that. I don't hear any amens over that.
Amen.
You know, in the scriptures, there's many other scriptures that say, you don't work, you don't eat. Amen?
Amen.
I wonder why scriptures tell us that. In the same, some believe it to be true, but that some believe it is hard. It don't have to be hard. Being a Christian is not hard. Amen. Even studying our Bible, some believe that it's too hard, and some never pick it up and never reap the benefits of what the contents of God's Word can do in changing and empowering your life. Let me tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus. We need to start believing that, not just saying it, not just singing a song about it, but actually believing it. Because there is something empowering when you read the Scriptures and believe. Certain parts of the Bible are really hard to understand. Leviticus. You know, some of those Levitical laws, and you start reading Deuteronomy and some of those wild stories and Kings and Genesis. And I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on in the Scriptures. Hosea. Man. But there's excitement in finding new truths in God's Word, and when it becomes personal and the Spirit of God draws out new discoveries. And I'm telling you, I really don't know how many times I've read the Bible completely through, but it's been many times. There's, you know, in even certain books, you know, that I've read through Ephesians and different ones, I've read through multiple times. And yet I still find empowering things, new things that come to the surface within those words. Always finding something new. I love the living Word of God. It's not just a book. It's not just an historical book that we just put on a shelf and pull it off when we want to know something. It is something that just empowers our lives with the truth of who Jesus and who God is and what He wants for us. When you come to church, when you come to gather with your church family in worship, you know, I think there's wrong ways to approach God in everything, but there's right ways to come to God, to approach God. And do you come entirely to just get, or do you come with the expectation that God will do something amazing in your life?
Amen.
And that's how we should approach God. That's how we should, when we come together as a church family, we gather together to glorify God, and we should come expecting God to do something amazing. Because that's what God wants to do. He's an amazing God. Sometimes I think we come without expectations because it's just life is just beating us up. And it seems like we're just going through the motions of just getting there. And just marking it off the list that we made it to church that day. Instead of expecting God to do something amazing in our lives, and that's what God wants to do. And we should never come out of habit or routine instead of just desiring a fresh anointing that God can provide for us. When I leave, I leave with a pep in my step, I guess you could say. I leave energized. Now, sometimes I crash in the recliner later on because I, you know, after I've eaten a big fat meal. But there's something about worship. There's something about praising. There's something about being with my church family. There's something about getting close to God and digging in His Word that just gives me energy, gives me excitement. It juices me up so that I can continue His work through the week. I like to come with preparation, spending time with God before I even, you know, as soon as I get up in the morning, especially on Sunday. I do it every day, but especially on Sunday, I get up out of bed and I'm like, today's Sunday. I've got to be ready. I hope that I can encourage you guys to be the same. I think change will happen in your life if you do that. This is His church. We are His children. Spending time with Him is important. A Jewish rabbi once said, they pray best together who first prays alone. It works in every avenue of our life. And I want you to know that I pray for you every day. Every day, I pray for you guys. You know, if you want friends, you have to be a friend. You are who you hang out with, too. You want people to love you, you love others. Yeah. You know, and I just don't want us to miss the warnings that Jesus gave us. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. It seems like a use it or lose it statement, doesn't it? But I wonder why Jesus would allow the writings in Matthew to say, there will be some come before me, and they'll say, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I preach? Didn't I do all these things in your name? And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are strong words. You know, you might be able to speak a second language, and I know some that do. And you may be great, you may have great knowledge and wisdom, skills that God gave you and skills that God has taught you. And I will say, don't let the devil steal and destroy all those gifts that God has given you, because each one of us has been gifted. Find your gift and use it for the glory of God. As believers, we have a responsibility to God for the gift of salvation that He has given us, and we have a responsibility to those. We have a responsibility to God to share that good news with everyone that we meet, the truth of the gospel. And that is what it is. God has revealed many things to each and every one of us, and we are compelled by the Gospels. When I read them, I'm compelled to do more. I'm compelled to be like the heroes of the Scriptures. I'm compelled to be like the young evangelist that went to the Indians to preach the truth to the savage Indians in the early 1800s. And it said that his fervent prayers were so strong, he would ride miles and miles even in the snow, no matter what the weather was. And it was noted that when he prayed, he would kneel down and even pray in the snow, that after his prayer that the snow would be melted within 2 feet of his body, because he was so fervent in his prayers. Those are the heroes that we get to look up to, right? Amen. It encourages me. I may never see that. I never may never experience that. But it doesn't mean that I don't want to. It compels me to do more. It compels me to be who Jesus wants me to be. And we are compelled to, by the gospel, to go into this world of darkness and bring the light of God to everyone that we meet. And we are commanded this to desire the truths of God and make efforts to be the light of God in this world. Many in this world are struggling today. They're struggling because they have allowed things in their life, certain areas of their life, to be in darkness, and the darkness is overtaking them. Instead of having the light shining and breaking through those darkness and revealing those areas of their life that needs to be taken care of. Only God knows all the results of all the efforts that we make together. But God knows what you do for Him. My encouragement today, and I hope you leave here encouraged, compelled to share the truth of God and to shine the light of God in this dark world. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Psalms 119 and also 105. Heavenly Father, I hope that our light shines so bright that we are like that city up on a hill that can't be ignored. Lord, let us share the truth of the gospel with everyone that we meet and everywhere we go. People know who we are because of the light that shines from us. We can only do that with you. We can only do that because of you. Lord, I praise you. I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful family. Lord, give us what we need. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.